Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this beautiful day. A few announcements. Take your red pad, sign it, and pass it down. We have a record of your attendance. It's not listed in the bulletin, but following the sermon, we're bringing in two communicants, Miles and Cody. They met with the session this morning, and they answered questions, and so it was a very nice meeting, and I'll present them to you following the sermon. Want a very special welcome to Vi Rao and her family that are here with us today. I think in a couple days you're going to be 90, is that correct? So, and I thought turning 64 yesterday was a big deal. So. I want to remind you, if you're not paid per capita, $27.85, you can round it up to 30, make it easy on yourself. Nursery care next door, and children's sermon next week by Heather, and next Sunday also Bible fellowship with Tom, and that'll be a discussion class. Senior Adult Day, you can read about that and talk to BJ Wednesday, October the 7th. It's a very nice day, and you can still sign up for scripture readers, food bank, and your prayer requests. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise, ye servants of God, number 17. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father,
we are grateful that you care for us. We appreciate Jesus and the life lessons he taught his disciples. Forgive us when we turn a deaf ear to what he had to say. Help us strive to be the best we can be in all areas of our lives. Remind us that we are not to hurt others as we climb the ladder of success. Help us to be kind, grateful, and loving at all times. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us unite in our faith in our Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is sitting on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you don't know someone's name, ask them. I've got a couple of announcements that were not in the bulletin that I noticed. Just want to thank the deacons for the wonderful pot roast and all the baskets we had last week. We had about 100 people, I think, gathered, and people cooking and people cleaning and bringing side dishes and just having a wonderful time. So thank everyone that took part in that and for being here. Junior Church starts today officially with Heather Perman, and so we thank her for that. Now, on October the 5th, the session for our stewardship drive.
Fifth.
I'm looking at it and said it wrong. I got too much on my mind. When you get this old, October the 4th, chili cook-off with the session is going to do everything. So you just come out and eat, and then you get to vote on the best chili. So. And Paul won last year. He's not here right now. I heard he fell yesterday, so we'll make sure we put him in our prayers. Paul Ruby fell. Oh, got the wrong Paul. See, I wrote Paul McComb. Paul Ruby fell, so let's be in prayer for him. Okay. Thank you.
We are called by
Our responsive reading, dedicated service 674, back of your hymnals. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship.
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
For by the grace given to me, I bid everyone among you not to think of him or herself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith which God has assigned to him.
For as in one body, we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one
Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good.
Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor.
Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord.
Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer.
Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality.
Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them.
Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep.
Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited.
Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all.
Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
This time I invite the elder on the door to present the prayer and praise requests.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Our first prayer request is for Ethel Brennan. It's a sister of Gloria, and this is the request from Gloria Myers. And for Ethel, she is very weak and fell last week. The second prayer request is for Paul Ruby from Bev Ruby. He fell on Friday, and he hit his head, and he has a chip in his elbow and his toe. He is back home, though. He was in the hospital. This is a praise request from Nancy Baldwin, the awesome aunt. And this is praise for Noah Uriah Stoiko. And it's a celebration of the birth of her great-nephew, Noah Uriah Stoiko, born Tuesday, September 15th at 4 p.m., weighing 8 pounds, 4 ounces, 22 inches long, to my niece Amanda and Nick Stoiko. Praise God, he is healthy and everyone is happy. And here's another praise request, and this is from Mabe. And this is for a wonderful turnout that they had for the Bible Study Fellowship this morning. She just wanted to give thanks.
As we go to the Lord in prayer, I remind you, we'll also transition into the Lord's Prayer. Let us bow. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, being able to gather for worship, for fellowship, for prayer, for song, to celebrate you and the life that you have given us and the promise of eternal life. We thank you for our new communicants who are joining the church today. We thank you that you'll touch their lives in a very special way, along with their families. And everyone that was mentioned and listed in the bulletin, the valley, and so many people have silent prayer requests for themselves or a family member or a neighbor. We join together and present these prayers to you. Thank you that you always hear them because we present them through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for all your love, every good thing that has happened to us and will happen. And we thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is a screen song, Sanctuary.
Thank you.
Let's bow for prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ and what it means to us, that promise of eternal life, salvation, and eternity with you. You've given us the church, and you have called us into action, to go out into the world, to serve you, to present the name of Jesus Christ so others may hear the name, they might believe, and might find that eternal life. Help all of our faith. Help us in our service. And we thank you. Each one of us thank one another for the service that has been given here at Glenshaw Valley to your kingdom. Bless everyone, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our friend. Amen.
Good morning. The lesson is from Mark 9, verses 30 to 37. The boss man was pretty cool to me this week. I thank you very much. He wasn't too hard on me. They went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he would not have known anyone knew it. For he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had discussed with one another who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." This ends the reading of God's blessings.
Thank you, Kathy. What y'all didn't know about when we were talking, she told me I better give her a nice passage. not anymore. A quick way to start a fight between sports fans is to say who is the greatest at any position or team. For example, since this is football season, might ask, who is the greatest NFL quarterback? Would it be Tom Brady?
No.
That's pretty definitive. I'll see what happens for the next one. Peyton Manning? Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, pretty good. Ben? Who would it be? Among golfers, you might ask, in their heyday, who would have won a head-to-head match? Jack Nicklaus or Tiger Woods? To go back a few years, I want to ask you about ball players. You remember Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and the great rivalry that they had? Well, I was reading recently about a Larry Bird friend, fan named Eric Torpy, and I want to tell you how much he admired Larry Bird. In 2005, he was sentenced to 30 years for armed robbery and attempted murder. And when he was given the 30 years, he said, "Give me 33. Why did he want 33 years instead of 30? Larry Bird's number. After a few years in prison, he said, "Up, should have just let it be 30. Some sports fans are truly fanatical. And one thing they are fanatic about is who is the greatest in any particular sport. Now, some of you may remember a soccer player named Pelé. I really never saw him play myself, but you would always see him on TV and talking about him. Whether he was the greatest international sports star of all time is a matter of conjecture, but he was an amazing sports celebrity. He was such an internationally acclaimed soccer star that they even stopped a war for him. Now, the nation of Nigeria, and I don't know if I say this right, because it was only a nation for 3 years, B-I-F-R-A, Biafra, Biafra, thank you, were at war with each other, and Pelé needed to go from Nigeria to Biafra so they could play soccer. So what did these two countries do? They stopped fighting so that he could travel safely between the two countries. On any sports greatness scale, he certainly stands pretty tall. Floyd Mayweather, who just finished 49-0, if he doesn't come back, is proclaiming that he is the greatest fighter of all times. Not in my estimation, but he's definitely the greatest, self-promoter, and certainly the richest boxer of all time. Edmonton Oilers head coach Ted Green got word that Sean Van Allen, one of his star players, had suffered a concussion, and he could not remember his name, couldn't remember who he was. So the coach looked at him and said, "Tell him he's Wayne Gretzky. Maybe he'll play better." Seeking to be number one is as old as Cain and Abel, Jacob and Esau, Joseph and his brothers. The drive to be recognized as the greatest even infected Jesus' disciples. They were passing through northeastern Galilee, heading towards Capernaum. It was the first leg of their final journey towards Jerusalem. Jesus is getting them ready, letting them know that he is going to die. He's going to be gone. So they came to Capernaum after an absence of some months. Jesus had noted some bickering by his disciples while they were on the road, and when they got into the house, Jesus asked them, "What have you been arguing about amongst yourselves?" They kept quiet because they were ashamed to say that they were arguing about who is the greatest among these disciples. Matters of rank are important in any organization, so it was only natural for the disciples to be concerned about their status in his upcoming messianic kingdom. We might think such conversations would produce a major headache for the master, but he understood their feelings, that this was natural. He understood that such drives are a part of being human. These drives to be number one come from God. After sitting down, which was the recognized way of teaching for a Jewish teacher, Jesus gathered the 12 around him and began to teach them. If anyone wants to be first in God's kingdom, he must be willing to be the very last and servant of all. Jesus did not chastise them for wanting to be first. He was not condemning anyone's desire to improve their position in life. Notice how the verse reads. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." It's okay to be number one, but you need to, in a servant, put yourself last to rise to being number one. Jesus is not saying to his disciples that it is wrong to want to be the greatest. He's saying if you want to be first, if you want to be great, here's what you must do. You must be willing to serve. He's not condemning their ambition. Ambition is an impulse given to us by God to help better our lives and even society. A person with no ambition can be a drag on society. I got the title of today's message from a theme song from the 70s and 80s. Many of you will remember the Jeffersons. Do you recall how the theme song went? I know you all do. Well, we're moving on up to the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky. Moving on up to the east side, we finally got a piece of the pie. The Jeffersons, one of the longest running sitcoms in American television history, focused on George and Louise Jefferson, an affluent African American couple living in New York City. The show was one of the first to portray a successful black family, paving the way for future sitcoms and helped open up things for African Americans in our society. Who would argue with the idea that it's a good thing for African Americans to see an example of success among their own people on television, even if it was a silly sitcom? It is not against Christian values to achieve a comfortable lifestyle for your family. As long as that material drive and success doesn't become the primary drive in your life. Christ understood that the drive to move on up in life is a part for all of us. Arthur Steve May tells about a working mother in the 30s named Mildred Benson, who was a columnist for a paper in Ohio. Benson's husband was terminally ill, so to help provide for her family, she devoted her spare time with a dream that she had nurtured for many years. Under the pen name of Carolyn Keene, she began writing mystery novels for young girls. You may have heard of the main character in those mystery novels, Nancy Drew. Benson was surprised at the impact that this fictional character had on the lives of so many of his readers. Many girls and women found the inspiration to improve their lives through Nancy's story. Her parents didn't think that she could write and were convinced that she would never, ever be able to make a living from doing it. But she had a dream, a very lofty ambition, and she became internationally known and helped improve lives and improved her own life by going after her dream. There's no shame whatsoever in being ambitious as long as you don't abuse people in trying to achieve your ambitions. As long as you balance that ambition with your love for God and love for your neighbor. Jesus was not condemning the disciples for their ambition. He was trying to make a point that greatness in his kingdom is determined by service and not by status. Jesus was saying to his disciples, if you want to be first, here's what you must do. You must learn to serve others. You want to be number one in business? Get a reputation for service. Same can be said, of course, in the church. When Thomas Watson Sr. started IBM, he laid out some core values for his company. Two of those values were excellent service and respect for the individual. In the Greek, Mark uses the word diakonos, for servant and not doulos, which can be also interpreted, doulos, as slave. The word diakonos simply suggests one who attends the needs of others freely and willingly. So there's a big difference there. This is a contrast to doulos, which refers to one who acts in servitude under obligation and compulsion and really has no choice. It's an important distinction. We are to serve God freely and joyfully out of a sense of love and not really a sense of obligation or feel that we are made to do it. It's very interesting to me how Jesus makes this point. He set a child among the disciples, taking the child in his arms. He said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little ones in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. In both Jewish and Greco-Roman societies, children were considered to be on the very bottom of society. And these societies idealized mature adults, especially males. To welcome or show kindness to one of these little children in his name is equivalent to welcoming Jesus himself, but not only Jesus, but a Heavenly Father. It is this perspective that dignifies the act of serving others. God is not concerned about titles or positions. Not concerned about your status. He doesn't care if you're the CEO in the company or the one that's outside cutting the grass. Titles do not impress God or qualify you to be a great man or woman. What qualifies you is your willingness to serve and care and love other people. In God's kingdom, greatness is always about servanthood. Since everybody can serve, you don't have to have a college degree. You do not have to have had to make all A's in school. You don't have to know the difference between Plato and Aristotle. And you don't have to know and understand Einstein's theory of relativity to serve. You only need a heart full of grace and love, a soul generated by love. Now I hope, as you look ahead to what remains of your life, that you will determine to make this your legacy. whatever else you leave behind, I hope that you want to leave this world a better place, your neighborhood, your family, and even yourself. You know what the secret to is a great legacy? You already know, service. Service in your church. Service in your community. Service to the little children. Service to young people. Service to the elderly and the poor, those shut away. Some of you remember Dave Thomas. I shared this a few years ago. The founder of Wendy's, he died in 2002. Dave's congenial face became a very familiar sight to millions of people throughout and because of his commercials on television. Dave also appeared in training film for Wendy's employees, and he had a very unique ability to identify with his employees. Dave Thomas was a remarkable success story. He was adopted as a child. He never finished high school. In his early book, Well Done, The Common Guy's Guide to Everyday Success, David said he got his MBA long before he got his GED. He says he has a photograph of himself in his MBA graduation outfit, a snazzy, knee-length work apron. He calls it leading by example. At Wendy's, MBA doesn't mean matter of business administration. It means mop bucket commitment or attitude. David Thomas taught all of his employees that service comes before success. That's the legacy that Dave Thomas left the Wendy's restaurant chain, which is still very, very successful today. Jesus also left a legacy for his followers. He did it by wrapping a towel around his waist on the night when he was betrayed and washing the disciples' feet. He taught them to serve by his own ultimate example. So how are you doing while you're moving on up in society? Are you learning to serve? Philip Yancey wrote in his book, The Jesus I Never Knew, said you can gauge the size of a ship that has passed out of sight by the size of the wake that it leaves behind. What kind of wake will you leave behind? Will the water ripple because you have been here? The word is service. Service to your church. Service to your community. Service to those who need it the most. I pray that all of you, all of us, are moving on up and we find a place to serve. May God bless you. Amen. This time I'll call Miles and Cody to come forward.
Congratulations.
My pleasure.
You can be seated up here at the front. After Please give the benediction by closing him. I'm going to call them to stand at the front so you can welcome them into the church.
A hymn of response, old favorite, This Little Light of Mine.
Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.